This week on Pop of Culture.
We're talking about monuments and cathedrals and like beauty and landscaping around us, and yet we didn't put them into the infrastructure.
Right.
And we said that they should starve, or that like that could kind of be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's opting out of that.
A conversation about changing arts equity, starting here. Coming up from IPR.
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations, and by sustaining members of IPR. Become a member today at indianapublicradio.org.
From Indiana Public Radio, this is Pop of Culture, and I'm Kara Duquette.
And I'm Michelle Kinsey. We're going to jump right in today with an in-studio guest. Melina Simone Bacon, who goes by Molly, is the co-founder and executive director of Gang Gang, a creative agency based in Indianapolis. She was a guest lecturer at Ball State recently, and she sat down with our own Jen Blackmer.
Tell us about your work and Gang Gang and how you got into the work of uplifting creatives.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for the question. If I think about how I got started, it probably starts here at Ball State, actually. In this building, you know, well, the building close by, the Art and Journalism building, is where I studied both art and journalism. I was an advertising major with a photography minor. And so I was learning about like words and case studies and how to put brands together, and then with art, like lines and photographs, and how that can be used to influence, and you know, the same things that marketing and advertising are trying to do. So it's really the exploration of kind of those two sectors that I'm still doing, really.
Right. And you had mentioned that there were sort of three avenues that sort of led you to this. What were those three, or what are those three?
So I identified maybe a decade into my career. Actually, somebody asked, like, what are your lanes? Like, what are your sectors, like, for your career? And I identified that they were civic pride, race, and art and culture. Mm-hmm. So wherever those kind of three lanes intersected, I could usually be found in Indianapolis, like, you know, for the past couple of decades. And I realized that it's hard to make the most impact in one of those lanes without the others. And so Gang Gang is a combination of strategies, you know, around civic pride, around conversations, challenges, and even overcoming racial hierarchy, and arts and culture is kind of a tool and driver for it all.
That's excellent. Why Indianapolis? Why is Indy the right home for this?
I was born in Indianapolis. I decided to live in Indianapolis after college when a lot of my friends were leaving Indianapolis to look for opportunity and look for what Indianapolis wasn't offering at the time. And my perspective, I guess, was a little bit different. I thought I could maybe start to make in Indianapolis what my friends were leaving for. And maybe that's a better strategy. And so I tried that, you know. I tried to, like, you know, bring in the film and the fashion. And I had a friend that left to model in New York and to study the arts in Chicago. And I thought, well, I'll just work on that here. And so, yeah.
That's excellent. And that's part of, we've had a series of conversations, really, about what it means to be an artist working here rather than in New York, LA, and Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I love that idea. And what's the response been?
I mean, now people are saying they left Indy too soon.
Of course.
Now people are saying, shoot, I want to move back. And wow, I'm proud of my city. Like, wow, Indianapolis. You know, we're in the middle of Indiana. And some people say that one of Indianapolis's struggles is its home in the center of Indiana, which is really interesting. You know, blue city, red state.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of layers there. There's a lot of conversations there. And the arts are kind of a unifier for it all.
Absolutely. The arts can and often does sort of provide at least the opportunity for a bridge between
communities. Exactly, and a language.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. So you mentioned you graduated from Ball State in 2004 and then moved to Indianapolis. Did you originally start with this notion of I want to be an advocate for artists of color and for Black creatives in particular? How did that come about? I mean, obviously it fills a need.
I think sometimes you do things that you're not even like conscious of, or you don't know how to articulate what you've already been doing. In high school and in college, my family, you know, I think about my dad, like we used the arts to bring our neighborhood together. Like it was just kind of a thing. Like I was doing community development before I knew what to call it. And even after college, you know, my immediate response was to do something, you know, that my friends are artists and like, what are they doing for work? And so I was programming right away just to try things, to test and to provide what was like so obviously missing. What was the question?
Just about how did you begin thinking about, you know, utilizing your talents to uplift in particular Black creatives or underserved populations within the creative arts?
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. I thought about the people around me. And I don't even use words like underserved or really under anything to describe artists, you know, to describe the people that are providing so much for society. My lens has always been such that artists are the heroes here, and they are doing so much for us. And like, what can I do to support that? Like, what can I provide to them? How do I create an infrastructure for their viability? And so my lens has always been a little different, where I'm like in service to them, which is contradictory to how society kind of describes them and
boy, that really is,
and calls them starving and they need our handout and all of that, which
right.
is, and so I guess the approach has been different from the beginning, and I am still just doing the same thing, which is finding work for artists.
So talk about how you do that. What are some of the strategies you have that that provide that those opportunities?
Well, now that I have a container called Gang Gang, gosh, I can really do it at scale. And we do it mostly by way of programming. We use programming for advocacy, and we use programming to, again, pay artists and to talk about economic justice and have these big conversations. And so our most, I guess I'll talk about our two most visible examples, which is Butter, the fine art fair that happens over Labor Day weekend in downtown Indianapolis. We've had three kind of and a half of those. We've had three and one pop-up version at NBA All-Star Weekend. And Butter has been, gosh, just incredible. The response has been really unprecedented and invigorating from the philanthropic, the private, and the public sectors in central Indiana. It's interesting to think about it from the tourism perspective. So Butter is an opportunity for central Indiana, and it has been quite the opportunity for about 72 artists who have received more than $800,000 directly into their households, most of whom are in central Indiana. So it is what the New York Times calls a blueprint for equity in the arts for North America.
Right. And if I remember, I think it was at this last round that 100% of the artists participating either had work sold or there was some sort of commission or some sort of, is that true?
Our goal, I guess, you know, there's a lot of unique things about Butter, but it is the equitable art fair. You know, it's the no commission fair. We work to sell or loan 100% of the works in the show and to offer 100% of that back to the artist. So there is no fees that Gang Gang receives. There's no booking, or we don't take money from artists, and we sell their work and give 100% of it back to them. So yeah, that's the thing at Butter.
That's excellent. And
Thank you.
I'm going to ask a question that I am curious about, which is that this is so necessary. And you mentioned economic justice and trying to counteract the narrative of the starving artist, particularly, I think, in communities like Indianapolis, where the arts community is, by its nature, smaller, right, than what you find in New York, LA, and Chicago. How does that work for Gang Gang as an organization? Do you seek grants that support this and then those then get transferred to the artist, or how does that work?
There's so many things in there.
I know. Gosh. It's a lot. Sorry.
First, I want to say that the arts sector is large, comparatively speaking, to cities our size. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you could just point to the demographics of Indianapolis and how we're almost more than 50% people of color will be soon, mm-hmm. that tells you right there, we are a city of artists, mm-hmm. you know? And so there is a distinction between the art sector being robust and the infrastructure for that art sector being robust, and that's what's lacking.
Sure.
And so I want to make sure that that's clear, and that's a part of Gang Gang's role to answer the second half of the question. We are advocates. We tell the truth about the arts and about the artists, and we are about cultural reparations and authorship and paying artists what they're worth. And in order to make cities equitable, you know, that has to, we have to consider the significant role that artists of color have played in, you know, America's landscape, in mm-hmm. America's economic engine. And so Gang Gang is not serving artists of color. We're not a black arts organization. We are lifting up artists who's contributed significantly to that industry.
What would you say to a young artist who comes to you for the first time? Like, what advice would you give them regarding, I think, how to become either a part of your network or how to begin to establish a career? What kind of things would you say?
I say, does anybody have a business card?
And do they have business cards?
Well, I say that to my team. After today's lecture, there were so many young artists around and so many people that seemed kind of attracted to Gang Gang, because we are just kind of a hub of creative thinkers, and I remember Carrie Kirshner on our team once said that we are a factory of creative ideas. So that's what Gang Gang feels like, and just even by way of the word gang, you know, which is people on a journey together, I think people are subconsciously just kind of like attracted to us that are on the same type of journey. So a lot of students today said, you know, I'm studying this, I'm figuring out what to do after, da 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 da. And my response is, come intern at Gang Gang, you know, like, come find a job, come think with us, come learn with us, let's ask questions together. We have a directory of artists online that that we use for our programs, mm-hmm. That we use for booking and that we like to lift up. But we are just a very big community of artists and creative entrepreneurs, and we motivate, inspire, and help each other create. And I think that's the beauty of probably the arts sector at large. Like, it just needs another person. It just needs another yes. And I guess I'm humble and proud that we've been able to be a yes to a lot of people. And so I'd say, come find out what we can say yes to.
That's excellent. What kinds of artists do you work with? Are they mostly visual artists, or do you have writers, singers, performers?
I'm trying to think of a type of artist that we do not work with or have not worked with.
And if one of those types of artists happens to be listening, you know,
then come join the gang.
Exactly.
No, we work with artists of all kinds, all types. I have just recently become comfortable even maybe calling myself an artist as a writer. And so just to include everyone, literary artists and performing artists and visual artists and sculptors and illustrators and designers, it's all about spreading the message and on different platforms and different disciplines. So yes.
It's very refreshing to have this conversation and hear so much about community and networking and making connections, because as I'm a writer as well, and I feel as though I spend the majority of my time alone working on whatever I'm working on, my projects, what have you. And I know, but that's terrible.
Why?
I mean, it's great to be alone, but it's also, I think sometimes I think, deprive ourselves of community, right? Because we think of the work of the artist as solitary in whatever way. And so this to me sounds like just a wonderful place to come and connect creatively with others.
Creativity breeds creativity, like smiles, you know, and like laughter. And so that is exactly what happens. And it actually can be maybe overwhelming for writers and thinkers and planners like me.
Sometimes it is good to wish for more time alone, so you can sort of sort through all of the stuff, right?
Exactly. But
It's funny because there is, I think, a tension in modern life that is all about like all of the things we have to do versus all of the things we want to do
or get to do
and in terms of, you know, disconnecting so that you can in fact get some perspective and either make art or tell stories, right. So I'm very excited about this type of an idea and this type of a community-based model. What would you say to others, somebody who's listening, because we do actually, the show is based in Eastern Central Indiana, but we have a podcast version that is national. So if somebody's hearing this, say, I don't know, in Denver or in Abilene, Texas, and they want to do something similar, what would you say?
Oh my gosh, I would say invite us over for a field trip. We love taking field trips to other communities, other cities, to share what we've learned in Indiana, you know, to share what we've tried and tested in Indianapolis for the last 4 years that has been working. You know, we have a new narrative in Central Indiana. We're a new cultural destination. There's a difference that you can kind of feel on the ground. The programming is different, and it's something that we are testing in other markets. And so if other cities are listening, absolutely invite us over and let's see what we can dream up.
I grew up here. Actually, I grew up in a small town about 30 miles east of Indianapolis, and comparing the opportunities to experience art and connect with art in Indy compared to when I was growing up the difference is just legion. And it makes me wonder if this work was going on when I was younger and just nobody knew about it or they didn't know how to connect with each other and now it's different, or if there is a sort of new cultural
Renaissance.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, in Indianapolis in particular, because it seems to be working.
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, but heavier on the latter. I've always been the contradiction to there's nothing going on in Indianapolis, like, you know, 10,
always.
15, 20
yes.
years ago. That was a narrative, you know, that
of
was
course.
A thing.
Yeah.
And there, and without social media, you know, it's like passing around flyers, like putting up, like literally printing things or texting graphics. And so just the environment, like social media, like the world, everything is different. And so that is helping to connect. But there's also more activity. There's also a little bit more infrastructure. There's more attention on the arts in Indianapolis. And I think that we've seen an incredible turnaround just in the last decade and certainly within the last 5 years.
Sure. And how about audiences? Do you find audiences are coming out more and more?
Interesting question in a post-COVID world.
Tell me about it.
You know, if I think about Butter, what we've already done, and then I Made Rock and Roll, which is coming up. It's a new rock fest that we're doing in May in the middle of downtown Indianapolis. And so that's the question we're asking ourselves. What about the audience? And I think people right now are looking for these kind of new opportunities, new ways that feel like fun, free, but also for a cause or for a mission or for something beyond or bigger than themselves. And that's a really unique niche that is wanting to come out and connect.
Sure. Oh, that's excellent. So what's the future? What do you know, you've been around for 4 years, and obviously I think the need was definitely there and you're building on something really incredible. What do you want to have happen? What's the next 5 years look like?
world domination.
It's okay, I'm along for the ride, so we'll go.
You know, we have been piloting a thing in Indianapolis. We have, you know, boldly said, and Central Indiana Community Foundation with us 4 years ago said that we wanted to make Indianapolis the most equitable city. You know, and so we're still on that mission, and the work that that you know, Gang has kind of done and sparked is piloting that effort in such a way that it does feel like we can respond to the new markets that are asking for support. You know, other areas are asking for, like, what did you learn and how did you do it and what does funding look like to, you know?
Yeah.
How do you garner interest from the philanthropic sector and the private sector? I mean, how do you offer a service kind of to both of those worlds? So it is a really unique kind of model towards equitable cities by way of the arts. And we're just starting, like we're just 4 years old, like we're looking for an office, you know?
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
So this is the beginning. And yeah, I'd say the future looks like, yeah, I think you'll start to see like love-based cities become a thing.
I love that. I did not mean to sound
yeah.
Like- love-based cities. I love it. Yes, of course. So I think I'm kind of really entranced by this idea of economic justice for artists. And again, I've come back to this again, but there's this notion of an artist needs to be willing to sacrifice, needs to be willing to starve, to give up all of the I'll say comforts of, mm-hmm. You know, existence, like a house and, mm-hmm. and things that should be, you know, and healthcare,
yeah.
and things that should be a part of everyday life anyway. And what do you say to that?
I'd say, what did we do?
I know. What did we do
How
wrong?
How did we create a society that doesn't honor the people who built it? I mean, like, we're talking about monuments and cathedrals and, like, beauty and landscaping around us, and yet we didn't put them into the infrastructure.
Right.
And we said that they should starve, or that, like, that could kind of be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's opting out of that. It's
right.
saying that doesn't make sense. That's no longer a model, because now, like, we will acknowledge the value and the worth of these creators that are making our lives better. You know, they're making our lives better.
Oh, gosh. All right. I could keep going. I mean, do you have a something that you would like me to ask that you Ooh. Want the world to know about your work?
About my work?
Or the world of East Central Indiana, I should say.
If anything, I would offer gratitude to the network around Gang, gratitude to Ball State, gratitude to you for, I guess, being open to this conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, do you have the specific dates for I Made Rock and Roll?
Yes,
and
thank you for those questions.
Get all of that out there so we can get all kinds of folks from East Central Indiana down there, please.
Yes. So first coming up, so Gang has lots of things going on all the time, but our two most visible kind of signature programming efforts right now are I Made Rock and Roll and Butter Fine Art Fair. I Made Rock and Roll happens May 18th at American Legion Mall in downtown Indianapolis. Tickets are on sale now at imaderockandroll.com. There's also a whole advocacy campaign going on Instagram at imaderockandroll. And then Butterfine Art Fair happens Labor Day weekend downtown Indianapolis, and tickets will go on sale in July.
Awesome. So I will definitely be there, as will hopefully lots of folks in our listening area. I am so grateful that you took some time to come and talk with us today. Please check out ganggangculture.com and definitely check out I Made Rock and Roll as well as the Butter Arts Fair Labor Day weekend.
Yep. Butterfineartfair.com. Butterartfair.com.
That was Jen Blackmer speaking with Molly Bacon, co-founder and executive director of Gang, a creative agency based in Indianapolis. We'll be right back. is Pop of Culture. I'm Michelle Kinsey.
And I'm Kara Duquette. It's time to ask another artist, Weiwo. What are you working on?
Hi, I'm Joanna Darda. I use she, her pronouns, and I am a creative and community engaged volunteer. I live here in Muncie, Indiana, where I live and create and dream.
Excellent. Joanna, can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now?
Yes. So I am really into textiles. So I love sewing, quilting, and I'm kind of always trying to like use every little bit of what I have. So I'm always thinking of like how I'm going to use my scraps and all this collection of fabric and stuff. But I actually just went to this great symposium this past weekend in Cleveland, Ohio. It was called the Rust Belt Fiber Shed Symposium. Oh. And this concept of a fiber shed is similar to a watershed. So like a regional kind of natural resource. And it's about place-based textiles. So this kind of why do we create in the Midwest fits really well into this weekend I just had. And it was all about kind of how art, regional production, and environmentalism work together. So we heard from shepherds who raise sheep in the Midwest and people who grow indigo for fabric dyeing. People who grow flax for linen, and then we heard from designers, and also people who are thinking about, you know, what do we do with our clothing, our material scraps at the end of their life cycle. So it's really this kind of cool intersection of art, nature, kind of shaping society and envisioning new ways of doing things and new ways of connecting with each other and the world around us. So I'm like buzzing because that's all my favorite stuff combined into one realm.
Oh, that's wonderful. So people were talking about what they do. And was there, did people bring some of these items to this event?
Yeah, so there were speakers who kind of talked about their work. And then there was a fashion show from this project called One Year, One Outfit, where folks completely made a garment or an outfit from items that they grew and things that they made and dyed themselves. So it was the coolest. And then there were demonstrations. So I got really into this demonstration about how to process the flax plant for fiber. So flax is what's used to make linen fabric, but it can also be used in like handmade paper and things like that. So that's going to be my new like gardening and art obsession, I think.
Nice.
Yes.
Where do you work on your art?
I work in my house.
So do you have a home studio or what is, can you?
Yes, I have a little home studio sewing room, but my projects tend to also take over the entire house.
As they do.
Yes.
I completely understand that.
One hobby, there's a million, like there's the sewing and the gardening and the seed collecting. So everything's kind of everywhere, but I do have my own space here.
Well, is it possible for you to walk us through a project that you're working on right now? I mean, you've given us a really good idea of all the things that you love and how they kind of come together.
Yeah, I am. I've been learning to make garments, so I am working on sewing some clothes and kind of getting the hang of my machine. I'm actually, the shirt that I'm wearing today is something I'm working on. It's put together enough to wear, but it still needs hemmed and trimmed and things like that. So learning to kind of make my own clothes and also kind of dreaming about what I'm going to grow in my garden this year to like make cool crafts out of.
That makes me think of like, what is something that you do to get into the creative mindset? I mean, for me, gardening helps me get there, but I don't utilize those things in my work.
Yeah, I think I get really like kind of sparked from my curiosity. So like I've kind of had these interests of sewing and plants my whole life, but the more I learn about something, the more I get excited and kind of sparks this like exploration, like, oh my gosh, who knew that you could take these little flax flowers and use the stems to make this thing, and you can take your coreopsis flowers and dye your fabric. I'm always kind of researching and thinking, and something will spark, like as I'm learning something new, and it's like, oh, I have to figure this out. I have to start this project. I have to, like, you know, put these connections together and see where it goes.
That's one of the things I also love about art. Sometimes you have no idea where you're going to end up.
Absolutely.
Would you say you draw inspiration from where you live?
Absolutely.
And what brings that inspiration to you?
I am inspired by the people in our community. I don't think I would be as happy as I am here without our creative community, and learning from other artists and seeing what other people are doing. And I'm inspired by my neighbors. I'm inspired by kind of our landscape and the natural beauty around us. You know, the bugs that are native here and the butterflies, and just kind of the people here and our physical environment.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand that. I was wondering if there's anywhere that we could see some of your work in the community at this time.
At this time, I kind of post things that I'm working on my Instagram.
Great.
It's probably the best place.
That's JOANNA_DARDA.
That's right.
All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with us today about your art?
I don't think so. I think I'm just coming back from meeting all these people who are, like, so excited about plants and composting and fabric. And I'm really excited to kind of dig into this next chapter. My phase of what I'm working on right now is really just, like, research, learning, getting really excited about what I can do next in my yard and in my sewing room.
That's
so
great.
I have to talk to you now. I'm like riding this wave of excitement and inspiration.
That's the best when you're with a group of like-minded people who are doing cool things.
Oh my gosh.
You're making me want to compost.
We can be that. We can be those people who get excited about talking about compost.
Yep. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Kara. It was great to talk to you.
Okay, Kara, it's time to take a look at the arts and culture happenings in and around our listening area. Are you ready?
I love it. Yes.
All right, I'll get things started. Anderson Museum of Art Day is Saturday, May 11th. Celebrate 25 years of art and community at the Anderson Museum of Art event that will include hands-on art-making activities, live demonstrations by local artists, and a chance to contribute, get this, to the creation of the museum's new indoor mural. How cool does that sound?
Oh, people should go out and do that.
I love this idea. AndersonArt.org has more info.
And when you go there, you'll be able to see Molly Shaler.
That's right. Yes. Who's been featured on this very program.
She has indeed. Minatrista's annual garden fair is this weekend. Discover a world of beautiful plants, landscaping tools, and crafts to enhance your summer gardening projects. Friday, May 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. and Saturday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Minatrista.net is the place to go for more information.
I love that they added the Friday evening event because they have live music. And I think that's such a great idea. Some friends of mine who are in a band called The Fierce will be playing. They're fantastic. So it's a great, it's wonderful to listen to live music, maybe have some tasty beverages, and then look at all of the awesome garden stuff.
And get your gardens going.
Yes. Muncie's third annual Comic-Con is set for Saturday, May 11th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Delaware County Fairgrounds. More info on the Muncie Comic-Con Facebook page.
Have you ever been to a Comic-Con, Michelle?
I have in Indianapolis. I have not been to the Muncie one, so I'm looking forward to stopping by.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear it's growing every year, and I think that's awesome.
Very cool. Sesame Street Live, Say Hello, is at the Butler Arts and Events Center in Indianapolis, Sunday, May 12th. Elmo, Cookie Monster, Abby Cadabby, and Yay. More of your friends will be there. For more information, you can go to Ticketmaster.com.
Sesame. Are you ever too old for Sesame Street?
I think not at all.
I think not.
Not
I
at all.
I bet this is a great show. I love, love it. Grover is my all-time favorite. Super Grover especially. All right. The American Association of University Women will have its annual used book sale Saturday, May 25th and Tuesday, May 28th through Saturday, June 1st at the Ball State University Alumni Center. Always a big event. If you love books, and I mean all kinds of book, every subject you can imagine, you're going to find it here at the used book sale. It's a wonderful, wonderful fundraiser for the association.
I will definitely be checking that out. And you know what? Just a reminder that this Sunday is Mother's Day. So show some love to your mama this weekend.
Yes, I love that. There are a lot of brunches going on all over the place. So if you haven't gotten a gift yet, take your mom to brunch.
Who doesn't she doesn't have love to cook.
I know,
and
right?
their mom.
Yes.
If you have an event you want Pop of Culture listeners to know about, tell us at indianapublicradio.org/popofculture.
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations, and by sustaining members of IPR. Become a member today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. This week was produced by Luke Jones, our own Cookie Monster.
I do love cookies.
And hosted by me, Kara Duquette.
And me, Michelle Kinsey. Pop of Culture is a production of Indiana Public Radio, produced in part with support from listeners like you who become sustaining members.